Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare. All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up.
Content warning. This episode contains discussion of suicide.
Well, hello there.
Hello. I'm Diana.
I'm Erin.
And we are almost at the end of Julius Caesar.
Well, now.
We're on the battlefield.
Woo!
Woo! Kill some Romans.
Let's kill some Romans.
Oh, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Diana sent me this cool thing about patriotism in ancient Rome, and particularly in Julius Caesar, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that he was talking about,
the author.
Right. Mm-hmm. One of the things that he was talking about was how, you know, how I always say there's no villains.
Yeah.
He said the same thing. He said there's no bad guys, because you have to remember they're doing what they're doing out of a feeling that they're doing the right thing.
For their country.
Yeah.
So depending on what your ideas are of how your country could be its best, that's how you're going to pursue your strain of patriotism.
But that's exactly where we are in the United States right now.
Yeah.
Exactly there. Nobody is doing, I mean, aside from maybe Donald Trump has other...
Malicious agenda?
No, not malicious, but I mean other agendas that are not necessarily coming from a patriotic place. But
no,
like,
that are much more personal.
Right,
and
exactly.
So not, you know, but not for the common good.
But I think that someone like Mitch McConnell, who infuriates me, he really, in his heart of hearts, believes he's doing the right thing for the country. I think he's completely crazily wrong, but I recognize that he really does believe that white Christian men should be in charge. He believes that. That's what will make this country strong.
That leaves out a lot of people
in leadership positions. The rest of us can just be cogs in the wheel, keeping things running.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm just going to shout out right now, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. Woo-hoo! Justin Pearson, I hope you hear this. I know you won't, because why would you listen to this? But I am a huge fan now. I got goosebumps listening to his orations. He is phenomenal, and he's only 26 or 27 years old. I'm watching you, Justin Pearson. I know you're going to be president of the United States if it's what you want. I know it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Erin is much more politically savvy than me, so I'm just listening.
That's the Tennessee Three.
Nice.
Johnson, Pearson, and Jones. The three that stood up and two were expelled from the
Tennessee legislature.
Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
Go look it up.
I always know the names. Yeah.
Yeah. Go look it up. It's so, what's going on is politically interesting.
Yeah.
Justin Pearson's going to be president of the United States. Mark my words. Okay. Here we go.
Fun. So back to ancient Rome. That's kind of my domain. I think I have a lot of resistance because my mother sits there every morning and reads the New York Times and starts to tell me about things. And I'm like, no, I'm just having breakfast. I can't. And just let me do my crossword puzzle and leave me alone.
Well, here's my soapbox. Here's my early soapbox. The 24/7 news cycle.
It's crazy.
It's awful. It's
too much.
It's destroying.
It's too much.
It's destroying our country. It's destroying our mental health. It's really bad, because they have to consistently feed you stuff and they have to get clicks. And that, so what makes people read more is terror, anger, right?
Sensationalism.
Right. So this is how they feed it to us. And I know for myself, you know, I listen to my news in the morning while I'm making my coffee. But after that, I let it go. But I listen in the car. And I swear to God, I understand road rage now. I do, because I'm screaming at the radio. Screaming. Yeah. And that's not good for me.
Yeah.
It's not good for the people on the road with me.
No.
Okay, off my soapbox.
And they have to fill up whole pages of the New York Times with stuff. So sometimes they just like... you know, go on and on about something that is like, okay, in the normal, I have a degree in journalism. And when I learned, it was like, give it a few paragraphs and call it a day.
Yeah, right.
Like, boom.
Right. No, they don't do that anymore. Yeah. And also everything is, what do I want to say? Everything is decorated in a way to get a rise out of the reader, listener, viewer.
Yeah.
Everything. So, you know, from a left-leaning news outlet, they're going to omit certain details that, or the headline is going to be something that just infuriates you, and maybe you'll click and maybe you don't, but then you that's the frame now that you're looking at things through. And the same thing on the right-wing news sites is they are leaving out details, dressing it up in certain ways, and if you just read the headline, you are infuriated, and that's the frame through which you're viewing everything from now on. So the media are doing what they're doing because they think they're doing the right thing. They're reporting.
We have to mobilize people on our side.
But we also have to make money, because now we're beholden to our shareholders and our corporate entities to make money. And the way you make money is by getting more viewers. And the way you get more viewers is by putting up stuff that is dressed specifically in order to get a negative reaction arise out of people. It's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Super dangerous. And I know I've talked about media savvy stuff,
practices
before, but I can't stress enough how it's so important to check multiple news sites before you
get that rise and then you need to go, wait, is that real?
Is that really the whole story? And go find whether it is, because and breathe. Right.
And also maybe listen to the other side, because the real truth is going to lie somewhere in the middle.
Exactly.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, and it's up to us because they're not interested. They are interested in sharing their view. News didn't used to be opinion. News used to be, if you must get news, go to the AP or go to Reuters, because they're still reporting the facts of what happened without sharing opinions about it. But everybody else, it's laced with opinions.
Yeah. And it used to be you got a heads up, or it would say this is an op-ed piece.
Right. We don't do that
no
more.
Oh, okay. You know, if I don't like that guy, I don't have to read this thing, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to stay informed and stay sane.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm off.
And
myself.
To bring this all back to Shakespeare.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. I was going to say, as an example, too, you know, we, in terms of getting both sides and then deciding, because it's probably in the middle, oftentimes when we're looking at characters for the first time, I would tell an actor, look at everything, and Aaron has said this before too, look at everything that is said about you, and then oftentimes in a play like this, there would be things said about you by an enemy. Like, you're terrible because da-da-da. So you write down those things, and then you write down the things that you believe about your character yourself. But, you know, that's slanted too. So somewhere in the middle is really what that character's motivation is going to be all about.
Yeah.
Or what their true character is.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, all right. Just to wrap it up with a Shakespeare point.
There we go. Oh, boy.
So, we're on the battlefield at Philippi.
Yes, Philippi.
Or Philippi.
Philippi.
And there were two battles there, one in which Cassius lost, and then the second one in which Brutus lost, finally. And they were historically actually 20 days apart, because they had funerals for Cassius. You know, they buried him, and it was, you know, they took some time to do that first. But Shakespeare conflates them, puts them together so that we have them all on the same day.
Well, of course, it's more dramatic and also easier to stage.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, you could have a guy going by, time passes with a sign, you
know? Like in, is it in The Tempest?
Yeah, Winter's Tale.
Winter's Tale.
Time, where there's a character of time who goes by and is like, by the way, 16 years have gone by. Yeah. So 20 days, and 24,000 Romans died, which, okay, maybe doesn't, you know, for us now, is like, okay, well, yeah, but with bazillions of peoples in the world. But
right.
24,000 back then to the Roman Empire was humongous.
Huge.
Humongous. It was a devastating civil war. And you'll see examples of this in the scenes that coming up too. Many of them were a father and a son and, you know, other sons from all the same family. So it wiped out noble families from Rome. And that's a big cost.
Yeah.
Big cost, you know?
Yeah.
So we do have the death of Cassius coming up in this scene. And he dies on his birthday.
Well, that's tidy.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Don't we celebrate Shakespeare's birthday and death day?
On the same day.
On the same day?
Yeah.
How interesting is that?
Interesting. So it was almost like a little foreshadowing for Shakespeare that he didn't even know about, you know? But it's also a theme because he says also in The Tempest, our little life is rounded with a sleep,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it was a thing that he thought about, I guess, how lives would be tidy if they were born and died on the same day. You really kind of really literally coming full circle.
Yes.
And Cassius even says that about his own life. Yeah. But he dies because of one of these thematic things that we keep talking about is misinterpreted sight. You know, like he even says just before he dies, I am nearsighted. You know, he tells Titinius, I guess, I can't properly see. Can you tell me what's going on? And then there's a misinterpretation of what is going on, which is actually celebration, and they take it for the celebration of the opposite troops who have captured their guys.
Yeah.
So it's really sad because it was needless. And Cassius, you know, I mean, I think, and I've said it before, that he was maybe one of the ones who did this purely for the reasons of I believe in Rome, you know?
Yeah, and maybe that's why Caesar thought he was so dangerous.
Mm.
Because didn't Caesar say he has, it's like a sly
lean
look or something.
Lean and hungry.
Yeah, lean and hungry, right. Oh, right. That's a famous line.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Young Cassius, yeah. And so maybe that's why he was dangerous, because his motives were more pure.
Because
he couldn't be bought. He couldn't be changed. His motive was Rome needs to be better.
Rome needs to be a democracy.
Yeah.
Hey, that might be a paper idea.
Yeah.
Whose motives are what, and whose motives are pure, and who can be bought off and who can't be bought off?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a short paper. I think it's interesting to experiment with. Whatever.
Right, because we've said that we thought that Brutus was not entirely pure.
He sure wasn't, and Mark Antony sure isn't.
Oh, definitely isn't, and Octavius, forget it.
Forget it, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't get to know Lepidus.
But here, I would put out that Portia...
Different. Yeah.
Totally pure action. Crazy, but pure.
Yeah. And very, very focused.
Yeah. Interesting. You couldn't buy Portia off.
No.
Wouldn't happen.
Interesting.
Okay.
So you have the battles, and we're going to see that Brutus beats Octavius, but Cassius loses to Antony. So it's kind of a trade-off right here at the first.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Okay, so Act 5, Scene 1, the Plains of
Philippi. All right, Octavius. Now, Antony, our hopes are answered. You said the enemy would not come down, but keep the hills and upper regions. It proves not so. Their battles are at hand. They mean to warn us at Philippi here, answering before we do demand of them.
Tut. I am in their bosoms, and I know wherefore they do it. They could be content to visit other places, and come down with fearful bravery, thinking by this face to fasten in our thoughts that they have courage. But 'tis not so.
All right. So, Octavia says, oh, you know, you said they wouldn't come down off the hills, but they're leaving their position of advantage and coming down into the low grounds where we are, and we're going to fucking kick their asses. They mean to warn us, mean challenge us, answering before we do demand, meaning engage us before we even force them to. So they had the high ground,
yeah.
But because Brutus is like, let's go, they gave up their position of advantage. And
remember what Cassius said to Brutus.
Yeah, he's like, no, wait for them here. They'll be tired.
Yeah.
And Brutus was like, no, we need to get this over with. Yeah. And so Antony says, I'm in their bosoms. I mean, I know what's in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that they're going to make themselves look really brave. But they would be content to visit other places, meaning they would rather be anywhere but here. So they just want to get this over with.
Yeah.
They're not
fearful
brave.
Bravery. That's a nice antithesis. Fearful bravery.
Beautiful, right? Fearful in that case, meaning like to scare someone else. But the antithesis is beautiful. Yeah. All right. Here comes the messenger. Prepare you, generals! The enemy comes on in gallant show! Their bloody sign of battle is hung out, and something to be done immediately!
So, a bloody sign of battle?
It's like a crimson flag, like,
we're
let's
coming.
Go. Yeah,
we're
charge.
Coming to kill you.
It's the opposite of the white flag that you wave when you're like, I surrender!
Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Antony, Octavius, lead your battle softly on upon the left hand of the even field.
Upon the right hand, I. Keep thou the left.
Why do you cross me in this exigent?
Yeah, so immediately we get the example of their fighting.
So you should, you know, be cautious and careful and take the left side.
And Octavius is like, no, fuck you. You take the left side. I'm going to take the right side. And exigent means critical moment. And he's like, why are we fighting now?
You stupid.
And then Octavius, I do not cross you, but I will do so. Like, I'm going to do what I want.
But right, because he's, okay, I mean.
17.
Stubborn teenager. And once you are no longer a teenager and you look back at some of the things you said when you were 17, you're like,
Oh, yes,
my brain was not fully formed yet. Yeah. And I'm sorry to say that. And don't hate me for saying that, but it's true. Okay, here we go.
So, big march drum, and here comes the other side for a parlay. Okay. Brutus. Brutus, they stand and would have parley.
Cassius, stand fast, Titinius. We must out and talk.
Octavius, Mark Antony, shall we give sign of battle?
Antony, no, Caesar, we will answer on their charge. Make forth, the generals would have some words.
So interesting, he calls
him
Caesar.
Caesar. Well, he is Caesar,
But there they are all together, and so he's pointing out, like, this is the heir to Rome. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And make forth, step forward, and Octavius, stir not until the signal. Brutus, words before blows. Is it so, countrymen? Octavius, not that we love words better, as you do.
We're men of action. You're men of words.
And Brutus, good words are better than bad strokes, Octavius. So he's like, it's better to negotiate than to have unnecessary violence.
Antony, in your bad strokes, Brutus, you give good words. Witness the hole you made in Caesar's heart, crying, long live, hail Caesar.
Yeah, so he's like, your good words are as much bullshit as your strokes are terrible.
And Cassius, Antony, the posture of your blows are yet unknown. But for your words, they rob the what?
Hibla.
I don't pre-read this stuff. But for your words, they rob the Hibla bees and leave them honeyless.
So that's a bit of sarcasm from Cassius. He's like, you don't have the power to sweet talk anyone, you big clunking butthead.
And Antony, not stingless, too.
Meaning I could sting you, buddy. I'm going to take it out on your body, right? Brutus, Oh, yes, and soundless, too, for you have stolen their buzzing, Antony, and very wisely threat before you sting. He's like, yeah, you use words now because you know you're much better at talking and blabbing than you are at fighting.
And Antony, villains, you did not so when your vile daggers hacked one another in the sides of Caesar. You showed your teeth like apes and fawned like hounds and bowed like bondmen, kissing Caesar's feet, whilst damned Casca, like a cur behind, struck Caesar on the neck. Oh, you flatterers!
Wow, wow. So you did not so, meaning you didn't put words before blows when you hacked Caesar. You showed your teeth like apes when you smiled. Mm-hmm. You smiled, you fawned, you bowed. You pretended that you were friends, and then you just jumped right in.
And like a cur, like a dog. Like a wild, feral dog.
A mongrel,
dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have apes, hounds, bondmen, slaves, right? Mm-hmm. Cur. He's just slinging
all kinds of insults. Yeah. And Cassius, flatterers! Now, Brutus, thank yourself. This tongue had not offended so today if Cassius might have ruled.
So Cassius is turning this back on Brutus. Brutus, if you had let me kill Antony when we killed Caesar, this fuck wouldn't be here right now yelling at us. Mm. Yeah.
Ruled meaning if you had followed my advice.
If you had followed my advice, yeah. Octavius, come, come, the cause. If arguing make us sweat, the proof of it will turn to redder drops. So you think, you know, you think this is difficult? Wait till we start fighting. You're going to bleed, buddy. Look, I draw a sword against conspirators. When think you that sword goes up again? Never till Caesar's 33 wounds be well avenged, or till another Caesar have added slaughter to the sword of traitors.
Another Caesar being Octavius.
Himself. So he says, I'm pulling out my sword against you people, and it's not going back in its sheath until I have avenged all of Caesar's wounds.
All 33.
33 wounds.
Yeah.
And Brutus. Caesar, thou canst not die by traitors' hands unless thou bring'st them with thee. So only if you brought traitors in your ranks will you die by them, because we are not traitors.
Traitors. Right.
Octavius. So I hope I was not born to die on Brutus' sword. So then I can't die by a traitor's sword, because you will not kill me today.
Mm-hmm.
Brutus. Oh, if thou wert the noblest of thy strain, young man, thou couldst not die more honorable.
And Cassius, a peevish schoolboy, worthless of such honor, joined with a masker and a reveler.
Yeah, he's making fun of Antony.
Right.
You're known for nothing but drinking and partying. Right?
Antony, old Cassius, still!
Come, Antony, away!
So Antony's like, shut up! Cassius.
And Octavius is like, let's just leave. This is not working.
Yeah.
No parley. Defiance, traitors, hurl we in your teeth. If you dare fight today, come to the field. If not, when you have stomachs.
When you're ready.
When you're ready. When you can, when you're brave enough.
To come and fight us for real.
Yeah.
Cassius. Why now blow wind, swell billow, and swim bark?
That's a great line.
Sailing stuff, right?
Yeah, so he's like, might as well. The ship has been launched. We are going to just have to deal with whatever's coming our way.
Bark is a ship, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the billow is the waves. And so we have to deal with the wind and the waves because we have set sail.
Yep.
This is it.
The storm is up and all is on the hazard.
Yeah, so everything is at stake now.
Yeah. And this should go fast.
Yeah.
Right?
Indeed, yeah.
So yeah, fast.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Because, so, Ben Jonson said, violence happens when words fail. The words are failing now.
Yep, obviously.
This is it. But we have to have the words first so we can see.
But so it's interesting in terms of our current situation also. Instead of talking about the issue, they are hurling insults at each other.
So
like,
useless.
you said this, you're an idiot. It's like, we're not even...
You're a baby. You're an old man.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about what the problem is here.
Right. Yeah. Or we're not even offering solutions that could allay all of this terrible violence, all of these thousands of men that have to die. Right?
Right.
Nobody here is doing the honorable thing and saying, look, I give myself up or anything like that, you know? Like, you do see other scenes where people say, and you see it, like Game of Thrones, right? Robb Stark, he said, look, you and me, let's just do this. Mm-hmm. Me and you, Stannis. But no, it didn't happen that way.
Yeah. Well, that's because, you know, talk is weak.
Yep.
Action is strong. Yep. But you see what's happening here, right? They're insulting each other, and they're not even speaking to one another. They're just
not
hurling.
Useful.
Yeah. Okay.
Brutus. Ho, Lucilius! Hark, a word with you.
My lord?
And they converse apart.
Oh, God, here we go again.
Here we go.
Here's another one.
Yeah.
What are they talking about?
All these words that we don't get to hear.
What are they talking about? All right, Cassius. Masala! I think I'm Masala.
Yeah, you are.
I am. Masala! And Masala says, what says my general? Cassius. Masala, this is my birthday, as this very day was Cassius born. Give me thy hand, Masala. Be thou my witness that against my will, as Pompey was, am I compelled to set upon one battle all our liberties. You know that I held Epicurus strong and his opinion. Now I change my mind, and partly credit things that do presage coming from Sardis on our former ensign to... mighty eagles fell, and there they perched, gorging and feeding from our soldiers' hands, who to Philippi here consorted us. Wow.
That's a lot going on.
I had a very hard time, right, in this
figuring
section.
That out
So,
first of all, he's saying, like, Masala, you're my witness that I did not want to gamble everything on this one battle, right?
Yep.
So I'm compelled to set, that means gamble, upon one battle all of our liberties.
Right, so all of our liberties.
All of our freedom on one battle.
And I didn't want to do that.
And then he starts talking about Epicurus, and we talked about him in the last episode, how he, you know, he was a philosophy that lots of them followed, and Epicurus maintained that there were no omens from the gods, that there was no, we don't get signs from the gods, there is no afterlife, just deal with what's here, right?
Right, and so he's saying he believed that, and
now he's changing
his mind
because he got an incredible omen of these two eagles that flew down onto the lead flag, the former ensign, in the army. They flew down onto the lead flag and were feeding from soldiers' hands. And then who to Philippi here consorted us, meaning they followed us all the way here to Philippi, these two eagles. They were with us the whole time. And the eagles, if you've ever seen the Roman symbol of the Roman Empire, it's two eagles. And then...
This morning are they fled away and gone. And in their steads do ravens, crows, and kites fly o'er our heads and downward look on us as we were sickly prey. Their shadows seem a canopy most fatal under which our army lies ready to give up the ghost. Give up the ghost.
Give up the ghost. Great famous phrase,
right? Yeah. So, there's a lot of lines from this play are famous.
Really famous, yeah.
And yet everybody thinks they hate this play.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
So what happened?
So the eagles left, and in their place, there are ravens, crows, and kites.
So many of them that they canopy the sky, right?
Right. And they look down on us as if we're sickly and becoming their prey, like vultures, right?
Already when dead men.
Yeah, right.
We are already dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canopy most fatal because they will eat us.
Ready to give up the ghost. Ready to die.
Ready to die.
Masala, believe it not so. Cassius, I but believe it partly, for I am fresh of spirit and resolved to meet all perils very constantly.
So fresh of spirit means optimistic. So he's like, I'm feeling pretty good about it, actually.
Yeah.
It's all right. And I'm ready. I'm ready to meet all perils, ready to meet this danger. And Brutus is coming out of his conversation, which we didn't get to hear. Even so, Lucilius.
Cassius. Now, most noble Brutus, the gods today stand friendly that we may, lovers in peace, lead on our days to age.
Yeah. So I hope, this is a wish.
Yeah.
The gods stand for, I hope they will stand friendly that we, lovers in peace, right? That we two who have loved each other so much may go on to live to old age.
Together. Mm-hmm. But since the affairs of men rest still uncertain, let's reason with the worst that may befall. If we do lose this battle, then is this the very last time we shall speak together? What are you then determined to do?
So he wants to know, what will you do if we lose? Mm-hmm. Even by the rule of that philosophy, by which I did blame Cato for the death which he did give himself, I know not how, but I do find it cowardly and vile, for fear of what might fall, so to prevent the time of life. Arming myself with patience to stay the providence of some high powers that govern us below.
So that philosophy is, his philosophy is Stoicism.
Yeah. And Cato, his father-in-law, fought on Pompey's side and committed suicide before letting them take him captive. So he's like, I don't want to do that. I don't believe in preventing the time of life, cutting short the time of life of my life. And so I will just wait for what providence, what fate has for me.
And Cassius, then, if we lose this battle, you are contented to be led in triumph through the streets of Rome?
Yeah.
You're okay with the shame, shame,
being
shame.
Captured and made to be a spectacle, like here's our captives. That's what they do when they come back to Rome from battles. They're like, look at this line of captives that we have, very important people, who are going to be made slaves then after that. And Brutus, no, Cassius, no, think not, thou noble Roman, that ever Brutus will go bound to Rome. He bears too great a mind. But this same day must end the work the Ides of March begun, and whether we shall meet again I know not. Therefore our everlasting farewell take. Forever and forever farewell, Cassius. If we do meet again, why, we shall smile. If not, why then this parting was well made.
So he's saying, no, I wouldn't want to be paraded up tied up and paraded through Rome.
For he bears too great. I'm too great.
But
I know that somehow that this day is going to end what we started.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, and Cassius, forever and forever, farewell, Brutus. If we do meet again, we'll smile indeed. If not, 'tis true this parting was well made.
He basically repeated
exactly the same thing.
Exactly what he said, yeah. Why then lead on? Oh, that a man might know the end of this day's business ere it come. But it sufficeth that the day will end, and then the end is known. Come ho, away.
Off they go
to the battlefield.
Battlefield.
And this is where you get then things that the next scene starts with the word alarum. That means that there are drums and trumpets that signal something is happening. Mm-hmm. All right. And oftentimes there were different signals of drums for, you know, so-and-so is entering the battle or so-and-so is over here.
Yeah, they fought very differently than we fight now.
Yeah, and because it was so chaotic, they needed these large sounds to tell them what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
So oftentimes there would be a section of battle under X general that sat on the sidelines and didn't come in unless really needed.
Till they got their cue.
Yeah, so their cue was some drum signal that was like, okay, it's time.
Left
we
flank,
need your help.
Move in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So alarum and Brutus. Ride, ride, Messala, ride, and give these bills unto the legions on the other side. Dun, 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 dun. Let them sit on at once, for I perceive but cold demeanor in Octavius' wing, and sudden push gives them overthrow. Ride, ride, Messala, let them all come down. So cold demeanor is a reluctant attitude. So he thinks Octavius's soldiers look beatable, mm-hmm. You know, that they're not really, their heart isn't in it.
And if we go full steam ahead, we can overthrow them.
We can beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. Tell them. And so Messala needs to ride to Cassius's camp and say, go, 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 go. Enter the battle. That's what that is. And then scene 3. alarms, enter Cassius and Titinius, right? So the other side, now we're going to see.
Oh, look! Titinius, look! The villains fly! Myself have to mine own turned enemy. The ensign here of mine was turning back. I slew the coward and did take it from him. So yeah. He's confused.
Yeah. The villains fly. His own soldiers are running away. Myself to mine own. I hate them. I've turned enemy to my own soldiers.
Because I see them running away.
They are abandoning the field. This ensign, his flag bearer, was running away, and I fucking killed him and took him back.
Yeah.
Because the people don't know where anyone is unless they can see the flags above them. So, Titinius. Oh, Cassius, Brutus gave the word too early, who, having some advantage on Octavius, took it too eagerly. His soldiers fell to spoil, whilst we, by Antony, are all enclosed.
Pindarus. Fly further off, my lord, fly further off. Mark Antony is in your tents, my lord. Fly, therefore, noble Cassius, fly far off. And Cassius, this hill is far enough. Look, look, Titinius, are those my tents where I perceive the fire?
Yeah, so this is historically true. What happened was, after the battle, Antony went into Cassius's camp, and he started setting tents on fire, hunting for Cassius. Really interesting. So they went tent to tent to tent, just like trying to smoke him out,
yeah.
Basically.
Wow.
So when he says, Brutus gave the word too early, Brutus did overcome Octavius, and his soldiers fell to spoil. That means his soldiers started looting all of Octavius's stuff. That's what spoil is. But they're not paying attention over here. We're enclosed by Antony's
troops.
Right,
we're surrounded.
We're surrounded. And so Pindarus is like, fucking run. Pindarus is a slave.
Cassius, the hill is far enough. Look, look, Titinius, are those my tents where I perceive the fire?
They are, my lord.
Titinius, if thou lovest me, mount thou my horse and hide thy spurs in him. Dig them in deep, make
yeah.
that horse move fast.
Move, move.
Till he hath brought thee up to yonder troops, and hear again that I may rest assured whether yond troops are friend or enemy.
I will be here again, even with a thought. And he goes.
Go, Pindarus, get higher on that hill. My sight was ever thick. Regard, Titinius, and tell me what thou noticed about the field. That's where Cassius can't see what's going. He can't tell what's going on.
And, yeah, so he's like, go, 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 go. Tell me.
And Pindarus goes up
Pindarus
the hill.
Also.
And
so this. Oh, regard, Titinius. Observe, Titinius.
Yeah.
Okay, watch, Titinius. I was confused about that. So my sight was ever thick. I'm nearsighted.
Right.
I don't have glasses on, so you need
watch.
To go and watch. Watch what happens to Titinius. So Pindarus goes up the hill to watch.
This day I breathed first. Time has come round. And where I did... that he's talking about his birthday again.
Yeah.
This day I breathed first. Time has come round. And where I did begin, there shall I end. My life is run his compass... Sirrah, what news?
Yeah, that's Shakespeare's theme, the little round life. Pindarus.
Yeah. Oh, my lord! Cassius, what news? Pindarus. Titinius is enclosed round about with horsemen that make to him on the spur. Okay, so they're coming at him fast.
They're coming at him fast.
Yet he spurs on. Now they are almost on him. Now Titinius, now some light. Oh, he lights too. He's ta'en. And hark! They shout for joy!
Right, so what he thinks he saw is guys riding fast to Titinius, and they're on him. They get to him. Now some of them are getting down from their horses, and he's getting down from his horses too, and he thinks he sees him taken, but he's actually being surrounded by joyous, hugging friends. But they misunderstand that.
Cassius, come down! Behold no more! Oh, coward that I am, to live so long, to see my best friend ta'en before my face.
He means Brutus. He thinks Brutus is wiped out.
Yeah.
And Pindarus comes down from the hill.
Come hither, sirrah. In Parthia did I take thee prisoner, and then I swore thee, saving of thy life, that whatsoever I did bid thee do, thou shouldst attempt it. Come now, keep thine oath. Now be a free man. And with this good sword that ran through Caesar's bowels, search this bosom.
Yeah, so Pindarus is his slave, as we said, in Parthia, which is present-day Iran. he took him prisoner. And then I swore, I made you swear because I spared your life that you would do anything I asked you to do. And so now you can be freed from that oath if you do this one last thing.
You take this,
you search this bosom, which is stab me in the heart.
Yeah. Stand not to answer. Here, take thou the hilts, and when my face is covered as 'tis now, guide thou the sword.
And Pindrus stabs him.
Caesar, thou art revenged, e'en with the sword that killed thee.
And there's 3 beats of silence that we get to watch Cassius die.
And Pindrus, so I am free, yet would not so have been. Durst I have done my will. Oh, Cassius, far from this country Pindarus shall run, where never Roman shall take note of him.
Yeah,
and off he runs.
I'm a free man and I'm going. Yeah, I notice Cassius as the line ending. He's really stretching that out. I think he cared for him. He was a good master, even though he's a master.
Yeah.
And Messala.
It is but change to Tineus, for Octavius is overthrown by noble Brutus' power. As Cassius' legion... Messala. It is but change to Tineus, for Octavius is overthrown by noble Brutus' power, and Cassius' legions are by Antony.
Yeah. So we just swapped win for win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that still the balance of power is still the same. To Tineus. These tidings will well comfort Cassius.
Messala, where did you leave him?
All disconsolate, with Pindarus, his bondman, on this hill.
Messala, is not that he that lies upon the ground?
He lies not like the living. Oh, my heart!
Messala, is not that he?
No, this was he, Messala. But Cassius is no more. Oh, setting sun, as in thy red rays thou dost sink tonight, so in his red blood Cassius' day is set. The sun of Rome is set, our day is gone. Clouds, dews, and dangers come, our deeds are done. Mistrust of my success hath done this deed.
Mm.
Great, and there's great pun with the word sun, S-U-N, for S-O-N. The sun of Rome, the real heart of Rome here. Our day is gone. He was our day, and our day is finished. It's over. And then clouds, dews, and danger. So like diseases and malarious vapors are going to descend upon us.
Lots
right?
of D sounds.
Yeah.
Dews, dangers, deeds, done.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da.
And then he says, mistrust of my success. He didn't believe in me to finish this mission and come back.
Right.
He stopped, stopped himself before he got my answer, which was terrible.
Messala, mistrust of good success hath done this deed. Oh, hateful error, melancholy's child, why dost thou show to the apt thoughts of men the things that are not? Oh, error soon conceived, thou never comest unto a happy birth, but killest the mother that engendered thee.
Okay, so this is a passage about doubt and mistrust, which they just use the word mistrust twice at the top, and they're saying that is the child, quote unquote, of being sad and depressed, is that you go right to negative thoughts, to doubt.
That's right? Like me. We were just talking about that before we came on air.
Yeah, and so we've got these birth things. Oh, error soon conceived, that never comes to a happy birth. So you don't. The person, the melancholy person who gives birth to you doesn't end well, but kills the mother. You kill the person. Doubt and
sadness.
And sadness and melancholy.
Doubt leads to sadness. Sadness leads to melancholy. Melancholy leads to death.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. So this is what happened to Cassius. It was his mistrust and his doubt. And to Tineus. What, Pindarus? Where art thou, Pindarus?
Messala, seek him to Tineus, whilst I go to meet the noble Brutus, thrusting this report into his ears. I may say, thrusting it, for piercing steel and darts envenomed shall be as welcome to the ears of Brutus as tidings of this sight.
Hie you, Messala, and I will seek for Pindarus the while.
So he's saying that Brutus is not going to want to hear this. It's like shoving poison in him.
Yes. darts envenomed as poison spears. So, yeah, it's going to be bad. So Titinius is left alone. Messala leaves. And Titinius, why didst thou send me forth, brave Cassius? Did I not meet thy friends, and did not they put on my brows this wreath of victory? So he got a laurel wreath because they gave him this because we are victorious. Mm-hmm. And go give this to Cassius. And bid me give it thee? Didst thou not hear their shouts? Alas, thou hast misconstrued everything. But hold thee, take this garland on thy brow. Thy Brutus bid me give it thee, and I will do his bidding. Brutus, come apace, and see how I regarded Caius Cassius. By your leave, gods, this is a Roman's part. Come, Cassius' sword, and find Titinius' heart.
Boom, he kills himself.
He kills himself, because he's like, I failed in my mission, and I want to be here by my friend that I loved. And he has a rhyme, rhyming couplet at the end there, so that was definitely premeditation, right? He was already thinking of this. It's not an impulse.
Right.
Yeah. So more alarums, and Messala comes back with Brutus and company. And you'll see in this line of who's entering, it says Cato. It's like, wait a minute, I thought Cato was dead. That's Portia's father, but this is Cato the younger, Cato's son.
It's not confusing at all.
Not at all, because now we're going to get a whole slew of new characters, too. Strato, Volumnius, who are these people? Anyway, this is often happens that there are soldiers that you only meet in the Act 5 of Shakespeare, and hopefully you get the actors who've already died to play.
Right, so your cast isn't enormous.
Yeah, yeah. Brutus, where, Messala, doth his body lie?
Lo, yonder, and Titinius mourning it.
Titinius faces upward.
He is slain.
That's
young Cato.
Yeah. Oh, Julius Caesar, thou art mighty yet. Thy spirit walks abroad and turns our swords in our own proper entrails.
Babe, Titinius, that's Cato, look whether he have not crowned dead Cassius.
Are yet two Romans living such as these? That's Brutus. He's like, are there any other Romans this brave and wonderful as these two people? So it's a little foreshadowing, right? Am I worthy of this person who I fought alongside? So Brutus continues, the last of all the Romans, fare thee well. It is impossible that ever Rome should breed thy fellow. Friends, I owe more tears to this dead man than you shall see me pay. That's him again, not mourning his dear beloved departed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like he did with Portia.
Mm-hmm.
I shall find time, Cassius, I shall find time.
Eventually.
Yeah. Come, therefore, and to Thasos send his body. His funeral shall not be in our camp, lest it discomfort us. Lucilius, come, and come, young Cato, let us to the field. Labio and Flavio, set our battles on. 'Tis 3 o'clock, and Romans yet ere night. We shall try fortune in a second fight.
Another rhyming couplet.
Mm-hmm.
Labio.
Labio and Flavio. Who are these fucking...
Labio is like labia.
I know, yeah. It's so weird. Getting these random extra people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Labio and Flavio. Wasn't Flavio that cover model on
yes,
romance
right.
novels?
And Thasos is where Cassius is buried, in fact. It's an island near to, just off the coast of Philippi. So they brought him over there.
Philippi,
yeah. Yeah, so, and here it is. It is impossible that Rome should breed thy fellow. Rome will never again make another person like you. So this whole theme, this constant theme that keeps coming back, what does it mean to be a Roman?
Yeah, the last of all the Romans.
Yeah.
There are no more.
There are no more like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was the honorable thing, according to the Romans in battle, right? If I see that I am overwhelmed, it is my fault, and I take my life.
And Brutus said he wouldn't do that.
Brutus said he wouldn't do that, but he also said, I'm not fucking going in chains to Rome.
Yeah, well, he...
So I mean, what are his choices?
Either be victorious or be killed by the enemy. That's
yes,
it.
Yes, that's it. And we'll see how that works out.
On our next episode.
Our next and last episode of Julius Caesar.
Oh, let's talk about what's coming up next.
What's coming up next, Erin?
King Lear.
Oh, that's a lighthearted comedy, isn't it?
Well, actually, some of it is very funny.
Some of it is very funny.
I love King Lear. I love King Lear.
Such a good play. So that will be really exciting. And we're going to deviate a little. I know we've done, for the last couple, we've done Drunk Shakespeare as our last episode of the play. But we're going to do our last episode of Caesar because it's a very short one, actually. And then we'll start King Lear with a Drunk Shakespeare episode.
I love this so much. I cannot begin to tell you.
Yeah.
Because that first scene in King Lear that sets everything in motion.
It's a doozy.
It's a doozy.
Oh, yes.
And it starts right in. You know how Diana and I, well, Diana always says it and I say, right. about how people come in the middle of a conversation. Yeah. That scene, that opening scene in Lear,
totally
we're coming in into the middle of a situation.
A big one.
A big situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fun. Fun,
there's
fun,
a dragon
fun.
And everything.
And everything. All right. So,
exciting.
Let's say goodbye for today.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time for
to
the
wrapping up
conclusion of Julius Caesar.
Grab that girl.
Okay. Bye.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.